Welcome into the Rundown, ESPN 102.5, the game streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe, Ryan Porth, Marquise Munson at the Wholesale Inc. Studios powered by RumbleOn.com. Ryan, good morning. What's up?
TGIF, that's what's up.
Oh, it feels so good. And it's rainy, and, you know, look, this is the downside, I guess, to working from home. It was very difficult to get up this morning because the rain and just you're tired and all that. So and it's like, oh, I don't have that far to go. I just got to walk into the office. It just, you know, it's a little tough to get going. But we're here. We're ready to rock. I'm glad to be here. You're glad to be here. And we know now what the Titans schedule looks like.
Yes.
So I am very excited. I always get pumped up for the schedule release. Maybe I'm weird. Maybe I'm not.
You're weird.
Well, I know, but
we're all a little weird.
We are. Dr. Seuss had a quote about that. So
did he?
Yeah, he did. But you know, I'm good with it, and it gets me excited because right now there's not a lot to get you excited. So I've had The Last Dance to look forward to. You know, I've watched some wrestling. NASCAR's coming back. UFC's coming back this weekend. But now we have an NFL schedule, and know that the Titans will open their season on the road against the Denver Broncos on Monday Night Football.
Well, that should definitely be interesting. A lot of interesting additions in the offseason for the Denver Broncos, making their Broncos debut in that game. You know, the drafting of Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler to join Drew Lock on offense there. Melvin Gordon was a signing for the Broncos. Obviously, you know, Jarrell Casey, that will be a big game for him going up against his former team in the Titans. So a lot of intriguing storylines there for the Titans. I wonder who's going to be on the call for the second game of the doubleheader of that Monday night week one doubleheader that they always do.
Yeah, that's a good question. Haven't they used Rex Ryan the past couple years?
I honestly can't remember who's that's been such a rotating cast of characters over the last decade.
Wingo's done it before. I mean, yeah, I mean, they just I always liked it when Trent Dilfer was there.
Yes.
Trent Dilfer did it.
It was phenomenal.
Boomer and Trent Dilfer.
Yes. I thought that was a really good team for a Monday night doubleheader. And we've talked about this before, Chase, that we think the NFL should schedule more Monday night doubleheaders throughout the season. You know, maybe once a month you have a Monday night doubleheader. You could easily do that with an East Coast game and a West Coast game thereafter. And I personally love the Monday night doubleheader in week one. I think there should be more of it.
Yeah, I agree. I would rather, like, later in the season, get rid of the Thursday games and do two Monday night games. And I know that, well, and if ESPN wants to pay for both of them, then great. Otherwise, you know, let Fox get in the fray or CBS to do the second game and, you know, just have something like that. But I don't see it happening because ESPN – and I believe I saw that some of the Monday night games this year will be on ABC as well for the first time since 2006, I believe. So I think they're going to simulcast, but I don't see them letting that happen. But I would love to see two games. I mean, I you and I are on the same page there. I think outside of the first week, it'd be cool to have that. So
whenever the NFL schedule gets released, I am more intrigued by the NFL schedule being released than maybe Major League Baseball or, you know, National Hockey League, because with those sports, you know, you have X number of games against certain teams. It's a schedule, yeah. You know, it has its road trips, it has its home stands, but with the NFL schedule, there's always that carrot of wanting to know when your team is going to be in prime time. And, you know, you only have the 16 games within 17 weeks, and seeing how those games kind of map out throughout the fall. I was pretty intrigued to see that the Titans got three primetime games, and you nailed the over. You've been saying all week that the over-under of 2.5 primetime games for the Titans this year, that they were going to get over, and you nailed it.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
You hear that, Darren?
Nailed it.
Over 2.5, Darren. You hear that? Yeah, I'm looking forward to 10 o'clock.
So the Broncos week one, Thursday night at home against the Colts in week 10. That should be an interesting game, a big game in the AFC South. And then Sunday night in Green Bay in week 16. The only thing I don't like about a Sunday night game in week 16 is that those games are more apt to get flexed for a game that is a big game for playoff purposes. So, you know, while it sounds great that Titans at Packers would be a Sunday night game on December 27th, it very easily could get flexed out of it. You know, if it was Titans at Packers Sunday night football in October or November, then I would say it has more likelihood of actually happening.
I have a thought on that I'll give you in just a second. But real quick, just the full you highlighted some games there. Let's just give you the full rundown real fast. At Denver on Monday night in week one, Jacksonville here is the home opener. At Minnesota, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, Houston, all home games. Pittsburgh, Buffalo, Houston, three home games in a row.
Quite the homestand.
I love that. Then the bye week on the 25th. Come out of the bye, Halloween weekend at Cincinnati, Joe Burrow, first time the Titans will face him. Chicago, Indy, back-to-back at home. At Baltimore, at Indy, oof. Cleveland at home. At Jacksonville, Detroit, that'll either be a Saturday or a Sunday game. That's one of those flex games. At Green Bay, as you mentioned, on Sunday night. And then closing out the season for the second year in a row at Houston, which is a noon kick on CBS currently scheduled. Could see that one potentially being a flex. Now, a couple of thoughts that I have. I'll start with your Sunday night game.
Okay.
Jared made a good point last night on the show that we did that if you get flexed out of Sunday night football, that's on you. That's your fault usually. Well, not necessarily.
I mean, the Packers could be bad.
That's where I'm going. Okay. I don't think it'll be the Titans' fault. That's what I'm saying. I think it'll be Green Bay's fault. I don't think Green Bay is going to have a good year. I just really don't. I think they're going to come back down to earth. I think everyone's going to see that they didn't get Rodgers any help. He's going to be pissed off about it, and he should be. And I just, quite frankly, don't think Matt LaFleur is that great of a head coach. I thought he had a good first year. He overachieved, but I think they come back down to earth. So if that game gets flexed, I'm not going to – I don't believe it'll be the Titans' fault. I believe it'll be Green Bay's.
Well, you know, you just never know. There could be a heavyweight matchup that day that takes precedence over Titans-Packers. Both of them could be in the playoff hunt, but, you know, Eagles-Cowboys is also in Week 16. If Eagles-Cowboys is a huge game for the NFC East.
Rams-Seahawks, that could be for the West.
Exactly. So, you know, while it could be the Titans or Packers' fault, it could also be just the fact that there could be a huge in-division matchup that is, at that point, for all the marbles for the division, that would take precedence over Titans-Packers, and it's not the Titans or Packers' fault.
Yeah. No, you make a good point. You make a good point. But I hope that it stays because it's the first time since 2009 that they've actually been scheduled on a Sunday night football. So that's awesome.
I love that there's a Christmas Day game.
Yeah, on a Friday.
On Friday, December 25th, Vikings at Saints rematch of the playoff game last year. On Christmas Day, I thought that was pretty cool, and it would be interesting. That is the same time slot where the premier NBA game on Christmas Day lands. You know, whether it's LeBron versus Steph, whatever. I do wonder if, because the NFL is going to be in that time slot, if the NBA's big primetime Christmas Day game would be scheduled for either beforehand or after when the NBA regular season schedule comes out for next season.
So we mentioned that they open at Denver on Monday Night Football, the second Monday night game. Taylor Lewan was a part of the schedule reveal and breaking it down on NFL.com. Gave his thoughts on the Titans' schedule and getting over the 9-7 hump.
I think at this point it's easy to just assume we're going to go 9-7. I feel like for the last 3-4 years we've been 9-7 every single year. So it's about getting that monkey off our back. So with all due respect, 8-8, it's a little bit ridiculous to me. But I think, you know this, Joe Hawk, you know this as well. Like when you look at the schedule, the first thing you look at is the personnel you're going against. And I have my hands full this season. There's so many great pass rushers out there, and it seems like I'm going against every single one of them this year. But obviously that week one, that's going to set the tone for the rest of the week. Last time we were in Denver, we got shut out, and that's always an embarrassing thing. And I think that's when a big change in our team happened. Obviously everyone knows about the quarterback change and all love to Marcus. And, you know, it's just one of those things where that was the turning point for us. And hopefully we can get the season started the way we finished.
Taylor Lewan on NFL.com with Joe Thomas and Andrew Hawkins talking about that. And I looked this up. Jared and I also discussed this last night, Ryan. Since they have been the Tennessee Titans, they have never won a game at Mile High in Denver.
That doesn't surprise me. They always poop their pants in Denver.
Something
always.
About those West Coast games, whether it was – and they don't have to go to Oakland or San Diego anymore, but
– yeah.
You know, they didn't have a lot of luck in Oakland, didn't have a lot of luck in San Diego. It's just something about the AFC West.
Seattle.
Yeah, Seattle. That's another one that they've struggled. So that I'm nervous about it. I think they should win, but I'm nervous just because of history. So it wouldn't shock me if they start the season 1-1 because Jacksonville, I think they beat Jacksonville.
You're already nervous 4 months ahead of time about that game?
I am. I believe Lions could already be out. I think Denver's a 3.5-point favorite. So,
I thought the Titans were 2.5-point favorite.
Or maybe, I've seen it different play. I've seen several. That's why you don't pay attention to those on May 8th, but because some have the Titans as a favorite and some have Denver. But then at Minnesota, as we mentioned, I have no idea. I can't figure Minnesota out. Pittsburgh. A little nervous because I think they're going to be better. I'm surprised that's a noon kick. Jared was too. Little surprised that is a noon kick or not in the flex window because that one's just stuck. They can't move that one.
Well, there's been a lot of great noon games over the years.
Yeah. The game that shocked me, because I said this on the show yesterday, I thought it was a lock for primetime at Baltimore.
At Baltimore, yeah.
I am shocked. Now, I think by the time they get there, that's at least a 3:30 game with Nance and Romo.
But, I hope so.
Which, I mean, look, that's fine. 3:30 is just as prestigious as a primetime game. But
is it, though?
Yeah,
no,
oh, yeah,
it's not. If you're Sunday night football or Monday night football, you're the only game in town, man.
You are, but 3:30 is a pretty big deal.
It's not the same, though. You cannot sit there and say that the 3:30 window is the same as a Sunday night football game.
I still think it's a pretty big deal.
It's elevated over noon, but it's not the same. It is not the same.
America's game of the week or, you know, the back end of the doubleheader. But, okay, yeah, a little more with the primetime, sure. But I still think it's a big deal. And the Titans ended up with several of those last year. They don't have any on the schedule this year. So we'll see if some get flexed. Are there any other flex candidates for you?
I mean, it's so hard to say. I mean, if the Browns are really good, then – you know, maybe the Cleveland game on December 6th could be a flex candidate. If the game against Houston in Week 17 means something for both teams, maybe that could be a Sunday night game. I mean, it's so hard to say 4 months before the season. What I will say is that there are 2 3-game stretches in this schedule that I think will determine this 2020 season for the Titans. The 3-game homestand in October of home Pittsburgh, home Buffalo, home Houston. Those are 3 potential playoff teams that you're going up against. Big division game to close out that 3-game homestand going into a bye week. Those are 3 really big games within the AFC that you have in your stadium. So I view that 3-game stretch as being extremely vital for the Titans in 2020. And then home Colts, at Ravens, at Colts in November. I think those 2 3-game stretches are going to determine a lot of what we think of the 2020 Titans.
Completely 100% agree with you there, my friend. So the Titans schedule, the NFL schedule is out. We will continue for the next several months to break it down because that's what we do in Sports Talk Radio. It is the Rundown here on ESPN 102.5, the game. It's a free business Friday, free show. So stick around for that. As Ryan will have something on the other side here on the Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into the Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe, Ryan Porth, Marquise Munson hanging out. Ryan, well done on the Free Business Friday.
Thank you, Chase.
Free Show Friday, Free Beer Friday. One day I will get this right, that it is Free Business Friday.
It's always a Free Beer Friday.
It will be. It will be later on.
You are correct, sir.
But awesome thing that we're doing, and this is a new thing that we're going to do every Friday. So You can get in on that. We're full today, but you can try to get in for next week for free Business Friday. Just go to thegamenashville.com/FBF for more information. You can do that.
Hey, speaking of later today, you have something cool going on at 6 o'clock on Facebook Live, don't you?
I was about to go, what have I agreed to do now? Yes,
you,
I do.
You've agreed to do a lot.
I have. I did remember this one. Yeah, so Big Joe Dubin from Channel 4 is going to join me, and we're going to talk to former Titans fullback Lorenzo Neal. He does sports radio out in the Bay Area now in San Francisco, but we're going to talk to Lo Neal and tell some stories. And if you have never heard a Lorenzo Neal interview, then you want to tune in for this because there's no filter. He's going to tell stories. It could be a good thing we're on the internet. just saying. He will refer to Derek Mason as the bootleg preacher. It is a fantastic time. And then Big Joe, same thing. I mean, you never know what you're going to get with Big Joe. So it'll be fun to do that starting at 6, game night on Facebook Live. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, Lo Neal has some great stories with the Music City Miracle, too. Obviously, one of the big parts of that Music City Miracle against the Bills back in January of 2000. So looking forward to hearing those stories. And also, Big Joe has been doing a lot of great work with WSMV during the tornado relief and COVID-19, and looking forward to seeing him a part of that as well.
So the NHL made an announcement this morning that we expected. It had been rumored, and it finally happened, became real. The international series that all of us were very excited about, that the Predators were going to be involved in, has been canceled for this year. Hope to bring it back in 2021 is what they're saying, but honestly, Ryan, no surprise.
Nope.
I didn't think, you know, the NFL, even before they released their schedule, said all games would be played in the United States. You felt like that the NHL and the other leagues were going to follow suit. The National Hockey League has done that as of today.
Yeah, and disappointing for the Preds because they were going to finish training camp in Switzerland where Roman Josi and Yannick Weber are from, and then, you know, start the season with the one game against the Boston Bruins in Czech Republic. So I know the NHL and NHLPA said that they look forward to bringing international events back in 2021, and hopefully the NHL will just shift the international games that they had planned for this year and just move them into 2021 so that the Preds and, you know, the fans that had desires to travel overseas to see the Preds can experience that next year.
Now, yesterday on Darren Donick and Chase, we had our weekly with Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet, and he discussed, and we've seen this start to trickle out, of what the next plan could look like for the NHL, and he discussed the possibility of not finishing the regular season and having a 24-team playoff. Here's what Elliot said.
I just think that there's a couple of reasons. There's three. Number one is safety. Like, you know, if you've been following, if you follow any league right now, the stories are all the same, right? You know, the NFL, you guys know the Titans, they're going to be releasing their schedule tonight. They're having a big show. But, you know, I saw stories today that a lot of this could be predicated on testing. In the NBA, they're concerned about how many of these individual team facilities they can open. And Mark Cuban, the owner of the Mavericks, he said yesterday on a podcast, I'm not opening ours because I'm not convinced we can keep everybody safe and the testing is available. So I think that it's going to, and if you've watched any of those highlights of the Korean Baseball League, you know, everybody who's going in, they have to have the swab and the temperature test. You know, are we going to be ready for that? So I think until all of this is available, and the leagues are very concerned about PR, of them jumping to the front of the line, not only for testing, but for the PPEs, the proper equipment, the masks, the gloves, all of that. So I think it's not going to happen until these questions are answered, these supply questions are answered, and that isn't a short-term thing.
Elliot Friedman on Darren Donick and Chase yesterday discussing, and that's just the first part of what he had to say about a 2014 playoff. But Ryan, first I'll get your thoughts, because I know you had something that stood out to you about this.
Well, you know, he also put in his 31 thoughts, and he said this yesterday. You know, he comes out every week with a 31 thoughts column, and, you know, reiterated yesterday with you guys that with each passing day, he believes more and more that if the NHL does return sometime this summer, that they are going to punt the regular season and go to a 24-team playoff. And we've heard Greg Wyshynski on this show, I believe we had him on last week, say the same thing, that he, if it were up to him, he would not start with the regular season. He would just go right into the playoffs. If they go right into the playoffs, I would not go to a 24-team playoff. I would cap it at 20. And I say this because when you get when you expand it to 24, all of a sudden you're including 75% of the league in your playoffs. And I get that that would be four extra, or in this case, eight extra markets that are excited about the return of hockey. But, you know, with how these teams played in the first, you know, four-fifths of the season, I don't know if you can include the Chicago Blackhawks in the playoffs. I don't think you can include the Arizona Coyotes in the playoffs. I think capping it at 20 and having seeds 7 through 10 basically go through some sort of three-game series to determine who moves on, and the top six seeds, the teams that are safely in the Central Division and the Pacific Division, and I'm using the Western Conference as an example. You know, you have St. Louis, Colorado, Dallas in the Central. You have Vegas, Edmonton, Calgary in the Pacific. You take those six teams, they're guaranteed to partake in seven-game series. Then you get Winnipeg, Vancouver, Nashville, and Minnesota, however you want to seed them. They go through a three-game series to see who moves on and is a part of the final 16-team bracket.
And that's what I read in the New York Post earlier, that there would essentially be a best-of-three play-in round.
Which I think that would be a lot better than just a one-off, yeah. Especially with how rusty these teams are going to be after this layoff. You know, in the Eastern Conference, you've got, you know, the Rangers at 79 points would be the last team in, and then you have the Panthers at 78. And I look, you're splitting hairs at that point, but in the East, I don't view the Montreal Canadiens as a playoff team. The Montreal Canadiens have no business being in the playoffs. So I would cap it at 20 to, you know, just to make it simpler and not have a watered-down product of having 24 teams in the playoffs. I that's just me.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I don't like the idea of, I mean, I know you have to change, you have to do something different, and you're not going to make everyone happy. That needs to be the biggest message that everyone receives, that not everybody is, it's not going to be fair, this whole situation sucks, but that they're trying to do something. So I applaud them for at least trying to do something. With all that said, let's make it be the best something that it can be, and I just believe that a 24-team, as you said, watered down playoff, that's probably not the best. I mean, I just think there are some teams that they're going to be the also-rans. They're, to use a NASCAR analogy, the starting parks. I mean, they're just, they shouldn't be there. They just, mm-hmm. they're going to be because they need the numbers, but I'll watch obviously, but I just don't want to, and somebody might be like, well, what if Chicago got in there and, you know, made something happen? Do you really want to see that though? I mean, you want to talk about asterisks? I mean, there would definitely be one there.
I mean, Chicago has 72 points through 70 through 70 games.
It's not going to happen.
Well, and you know, here's the other thing: if you're the league, they may be looking at it. If Elliot Friedman is right, that they could be looking at a 24-team playoff. If you expand it from 20 to 24, you are then including Chicago and Montreal, two original six franchises that would bring in some ratings, some additional ratings. You'd also be including Arizona and Florida. Not a whole lot of ratings there. But two landmark franchises in the league. And at that point, you would be including all original six franchises outside of Detroit. So, you know, I don't know if that's part of the incentive from the NHL. I would love to know more about this 24-team playoff. There was also a thought from Mark Spector that could, you know, have the top six teams of each division play in a playoff. And it I don't know. I want to know more about 24 teams before I'm sold on it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. So as I continue to say, a situation that we will monitor, but I don't love it. But as I said, you're not going to make everybody happy. So as long as there is a plan and they eventually come back. I guess that's what everybody needs to be happy about. So yep. We will see. When we come back, Ryan, we're going to do something a little different. This should be fun. The American Cornhole League, they're going to be on ESPN this weekend. Stacy Moore, their commissioner, is going to join us. Should be fun because we've all played a little cornhole in our day. We'll do that next on The Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. The Rundown rolls on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. And you can download that app if you are working from home. It's very simple. All you have to do is search for the Game Nashville in the Google Play or the App Store. You can get that. You can enable your Alexa skill. Or on Google Home, just ask to play 102.5 The Game, and you can live stream from the website, thegamenashville.com. As mentioned, The Rundown, Chase McCabe, Ryan Porth. And a cool thing coming up this weekend on ESPN, Ryan. I'm excited about this because we've all played cornhole. You know, I'm a part of a cornhole tournament every year when I go on a boys trip to Gatlinburg. And so we've all always been playing this game, and now ESPN going to televise it this weekend. We say hello to Stacy Moore, who is the commissioner of the American Cornhole League. Stacy, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this has to be exciting for you all in the American Cornhole League, the ACL, the Pro Invitational Qualifier, ACL Cornhole Mania 2020, all going to be televised from Rock Hill, South Carolina this Saturday and Sunday on ESPN. So how did this all come about, and with a climate like this one, not having live sports, this is a great opportunity for you?
Yeah, it's a fantastic opportunity. We're in the middle of a three-year agreement with ESPN as our partner. You know, unfortunately, we had to cancel our big Cornhole Mania event in March. So we had to cancel that event 10 hours before it was to go off. We had 175 sets of cornhole boards set up in 141,000 square feet. And we had to pack it all up and head home. So that was certainly disappointing, but you know, we went to the drawing board, kind of refocused, tried to figure out how we could do a broadcast with proper social distancing rules and all that. And we've got it together, and now we're one of the first live sports back out of the gate.
So what will the setup look like for the competitors, for those at home that are wondering? You know, you mentioned social distancing, adhering to guidelines, things like that. So what will the setup be?
Yeah, so from a broadcast court perspective, it will look very similar, except for obviously we won't have any fans around the court. So we are playing this event with no spectators. From a gameplay standpoint, probably the biggest difference and the biggest thing that our players are going to have to get used to is stepping outside of the box after they throw to let the other person come in and stand inside the box to throw. So normally when you're looking at it on broadcast, the board is 2 feet wide. You normally see one person standing on each side of the board throwing, and they pretty much stay there the entire round. Now after each throw, they're going to have to come in and out of the box to maintain that 6 feet distance. They will also be wearing masks. So for the first time ever, you'll see masked cornhole players playing the sport.
Stacy Moore is with us, the American Cornhole League commissioner. Stacy, for people who may not have seen this before but will be tuning in tomorrow, how intense do these cornhole games get?
They get really, really intense. And that's one of the things that I noticed very early on that inspired me to bring it to this level and to make it a sport, is I saw people playing at tailgates at an intense level that I had no idea why they were playing so seriously. You know, when I played at a tailgate, I had a beer in one hand, a bag in the other. I was just trying to hit the board. You know, and I saw these guys that were executing shots that were highly skilled. And so as I got to know the strategy and that sort of thing, it just kind of sucked me in and motivated me to want to bring it to ESPN and make it a legitimate sport. So I hope for the people that are tuning in for the first time tomorrow that they really enjoy it and they really get a chance to see the skill that these pro players have.
So what would you say is kind of the, I don't know, percentage of hits that these individuals have of getting the bag on the board you know, in relation to, you know, Joe Schmo at a tailgate, like you said, you know, all of us play cornhole. We have a beer in one hand and just, you know, playing it laid back, and we'll have airbags and, you know, come up short. But what's the level of skill with these players?
Yeah, it's extremely high, right? I mean, it's one of those things where we'll run into people all the time that'll say, "Oh, I'm pretty good at this game. I'm pretty good at this game," but then they'll go up against one of our pros and get beat 21-0. So, on a very rare occasion, you may see a short bag hit just in front of the board because they're trying to hit it in that place to slide it in a certain spot. You know, you'll see some bags, if they're really fast and they miss the hole, they will slide off the back. But very rarely, if someone's going for a really hard airmail or something like that, you may see them overshoot the board. But it's extremely rare to see one of our pros not at least land on the board and have an opportunity to stick it. Like I said, usually they're executing a shot, whether it's a block, whether it's a push, whether it's an airmail, are kind of the three key shots that they're executing. And they're very precise with how they throw the bag and where they landed on the board.
Talking to Stacy Moore, the American Cornhole League commissioner, again on ESPN tomorrow from 11 to 1 Central Time, that you can watch that. And with the singles will be in prime time from 5 until 7 Central Time on ESPN2. So you can check that out. Now, how does one, if somebody wanted to do this and join this league, what is the process for getting involved in being a competitor?
Yeah, just go to iplayacl.com and create a free account and get started with us. So we have a very open point system. We like to say anyone can play, anyone can win. So we have a season-long point standing system for all ages and all skill levels. So you don't have to be the best of the best to come out and play in the ACL. We do have divisions for beginners as well. So we have 5 different skill level divisions that we do. And if you finish the top 32 in advanced points during our season, you get to be a pro the next season.
Now, there have been some athletes that you know, from other sports that have gotten involved, correct?
Yeah, I mean, we've done some really, really cool things with some celebrities and athletes here over the past couple of years. You know, most recently we did Super Hole with Sam Darnold and Daniel Jones down around the Super Bowl event in Florida. That was pretty cool. We've done ACL Charity Day that's had a mixture of celebrities and athletes involved in that. So, you know, that's one of the great things about cornhole is that it crosses over with every other sport. And so I hope that people that are passionate about, whether it be baseball or lacrosse or whatever the spring sport is that you're currently missing right now, hopefully we can bring some joy with our cornhole show.
Well, Stacy, we appreciate the time this morning. Best of luck with it. And we're going to be tuning in because we all love a good game of cornhole. So really appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Fantastic. I appreciate it, guys.
All right, there you go. Stacy Moore, the commissioner of the American Cornhole League. Again, you can watch tomorrow on ESPN starting at 11 o'clock Central Time, and then later on the singles will be at 5 o'clock Central Time on ESPN2. So
I'm going to tune in. I want to see how intense this gets.
Oh, yeah, because you and I have been in some games, and you want to talk about intense, Darren McFarland, especially when I had to be his partner. And listen, I know I'm not very good, or I wasn't, and I've gotten better as the years have gone on. And
have you, though?
Yes. Okay. Contrary to what some people may think, you, Gina, Darren, I do actually get better at things as I play them. So,
well,
I'm not that bad.
You don't particularly get better at, you know, athletic things. So I was just making sure.
Yeah, well. I host the midday show now, so look at me.
Now, if you thought Sam Darnold couldn't throw a football, he can throw a cornhole because he won. He beat Daniel Jones in cornhole. So
are you saying he wasn't seeing ghosts
while
playing cornhole?
No, he wasn't. Nah, not at all. He's good. Bad. So Sam Darnold's actually, he can throw a cornhole. Can't throw a football, but he can throw a cornhole.
Oh, that's funny.
So So we're all very competitive on this show. When we come back, a niche sport similar to that of cornhole that we think we could enter a tournament and actually win it. We'll have a little fun to wrap up this Friday edition of the Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ah, yes, cannot wait to have a little bit of the bubbly after being done with the shows for the day. Enter the ESPN The Game Nashville Uniform Drawing Contest for a chance to win a jersey from either the Nashville Predators, Nashville SC, Sounds, Vandy, or MTSU. Download our jersey template from thegamenashville.com or draw your own and submit for your chance to win. Game listeners will then vote on the top three uniforms from each category. That's hockey, soccer, football, basketball, and baseball, with the winner getting a jersey. More details and to enter, visit thegamenashville.com. I have submitted both of mine, the red one and the black one. I know I'm not eligible, but I still had fun with it. Mm. So I have submitted both of those, and you can do the same. You can draw it. You can do Photoshop like I did, however you want to design your jersey.
And you styled them after the Chicago Bulls.
I did. So I had some fun with that. And, I might do some other ones this weekend just to get the creative juices flowing for people and give you a little inspiration. Maybe I'll do a Titan style or a Pred style. We will see. But a niche sport, we just talked cornhole, that you think that you would be good at and you could enter a tournament and actually win. And Marquise, you jump in on this too. Ryan, what would your answer be?
You know, I feel like I can be pretty good at beer pong and win a beer pong tournament. But, you know, in terms of like a backyard game, how about Polish?
Okay. I know this is going to not shock you, but what is that?
Okay, so you take like a lead pipe, you put it in the ground, and you put an empty beer bottle on top of it, and you take a frisbee and you try to knock it off.
Oh, okay.
There's different names for the game. Some people call it Polish. It's a really fun game that we play at the lake house every summer when I go up with my fiance's family. I think I could win a tournament of Polish.
Okay. Marquise, what about you?
Let's see. I'm so athletic when it comes to niche sports. I'm like LeBron James of niche sports.
I've been in some intense beer pong games with you.
So I would say beer pong would be one. Cornhole, if I had and mind you, these are like niche sports that if we honed in our 100% effort on this sport, like we can dominate. Because like you play these games sometimes, you don't really play them as like an athlete does. So like if I practiced cornhole, I'm pretty sure I can be good. If I practice beer pong, I'm pretty sure I can be good. Also, shuffleboard. I'm really good at shuffleboard, especially when I've had my good friend Jack Daniels on my side. So, really good at shuffleboard. And I did Ultimate Frisbee once, and it's hard. But the first time I did it, my friend was like, oh, you're actually pretty good. I'm like, if I practice it, I'll probably be better. So, you know, LeBron James of niche sports. Or slippery stairs,
calling himself LeBron James.
Or slippery stairs from ESPN The Ocho. I could probably do that.
King Munson.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked watching Slippery Stairs.
Slippery Stairs was awesome. What a fantastic event!
I'm not very good at shuffleboard.
Shuffleboard's shuffleboard's pretty fun. I love
it. It is fun. I'm just not very good at it. Here's one: darts. We'll challenge anyone to darts, especially the 301 game.
I'm good at darts. It's hit or miss for me. It depends on, you know, how much me and my good friend Jack Daniels have been hanging out that night. Because sometimes I won't hit the board. Sometimes I'll hit, you know, what's around the board. I used to have a dart board in my apartment, and that's probably the worst idea I've ever had because, yeah, there's a lot of holes in that wall.
Mine would be beer pong because that's a game that when I first started playing, I was terrible at it. And then I've played so much now that I feel like I could dominate in that. That's one that I feel pretty confident about. And that's one of those two that the more beer I have, the better I get. So it's not the reverse effect.
Okay. Yeah, it's like Michael Jordan's secret stuff on Space Jam. It's like like me and Jack, we're just like, okay, let's go. We gotta get 21 in shuffleboard. Let's go.
What about
go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask about, I think it's got different names, but I've called it redneck golf, where you, it has the two golf balls on the string and you're trying to throw it onto the bar. You
know, I'm not good at that game. I'm not good. It's fun. I'm just not good at that game.
Okay. Well, what was the one you were going to name?
Can Jam.
What is Can Jam?
You've never played Can Jam?
I have not. Okay, well, I mean, so, I may not realize what the name is.
All right, so it's a little hard to describe. So you have this plastic circle that has a hole in it, and you've got two of them. You line up at other ends of the backyard. You've got a frisbee, and you throw the frisbee, and you try to get it in that hole. And if you get in the hole, there's a point system. You get in the hole, you get more points. If you throw the frisbee and your partner at the other end slaps it into the plastic circle, then you get points as well. So it's a fun game. It's a fun backyard game.
Hmm. All right. Well,
you'll have to check that out.
I will have to try that one. I haven't played that one, but I will have to try it. So just a little fun, and you know, as it gets warmer and you're outside, and hopefully we can all be together again soon. Some fun games to play. So if you think of any more, you can tweet at us at 1025 The Game. Sports are returning this week. Besides cornhole, Ryan, the UFC, they're going to hold their fight. I heard Dana White this morning on Golic and Wingo to wrap up their show discussing it. But this is a big deal, because I guess this is the first of the major sports, and UFC has quite a following, that they'll be returning with UFC 249 taking place this weekend. No fans, but they're gonna have the full fight card on pay-per-view Saturday night. So I'm curious to see how this is how it's gonna go, how it's gonna work. Now, he did address this morning on Golic and Wingo, saying that they had planned to do it back in April. That was when it was originally scheduled. ESPN, Disney asked them not to, and he is respectful and has a great partnership with ESPN, so he obliged and backed off. But they are going to go ahead and do it this weekend, tomorrow night, with the prelims and then the main card on UFC 249. So this is a big deal, because this is the first sport that's making its return, major sport, and we'll have something to talk about. But this is setting the way for next weekend. NASCAR makes a return. And we'll see how much the other leagues are paying attention. And I understand they are all run differently. You all have different logistics that you have to deal with. But I do believe that this is a big first step in getting sports back.
Well, you mentioned the next two weekends. I think there's going to be a lot more eyes, even though it's pay-per-view for UFC. I think there's going to be a lot more eyes than usual on UFC tomorrow night. And I think there's going to be a lot more eyes on NASCAR on May 17th than usual. Because there's really nothing going on. And, you know, we have the commissioner of the Cornhole League last segment. I mean, there's going to be a lot of people watching the Cornhole League tomorrow and that tournament, just because there's not a whole lot on. So, you know, this is a great opportunity for, you know, some of these more niche sports like a Cornhole League, or on a grander scale, the UFC or NASCAR, to get their product in front of new fans and potentially develop those new fans into longtime fans.
Yeah, and did I see, Marquise, that Greg Hardy is on this card?
Yep. He's probably going to be the first card in the fight. So,
yeah.
And what UFC did, like, they're smart about this, because they got a lot of big name fighters, like some of the big name fighters, Anthony Pettis, Michelle Waterson, who, you know, she's awesome and she's well known around the UFC realms. They got a lot of these fights in the prelim fights, yeah, on ESPN. So it's kind of smart. They're like, okay, we're not going to put some of our up and comers on this, you know, prelim fight card. We're going to put like Verdum and Pettis
and Cowboy
and, you know, Waterson. So they're smart by doing that, putting their big name fighters on prelim fights that is free for everybody to watch if you don't want to watch the pay-per-view.
And I will definitely watch that. I don't know if I'm going to order the pay-per-view, but I might, you know, who knows if I get into the prelims. But the main event, or the main fight on the prelim, is Cowboy Cerrone and Anthony Pettis. That'll be a good fight. So I'm looking forward to that. Just looking through the card, and as you said, it is a stacked card. that they have for UFC 249.
So. And also, this is like a ripple effect for stuff that can happen in the future, because Conor McGregor said that if he's going to watch these, you know, first couple events that they have, and he could be fighting in July, and that's a big fight. Any fight Conor McGregor is in, it's a big fight. So yeah. It's big. So
I am a little surprised that UFC didn't have to go to a secret island to do this, and they're doing it in Jacksonville.
Yeah, they are. Fight Island. We need Fight Island. Wingo brought that up, that we need Fight Island, and Dana said that it's happening. They're working on it. So Fight Island would be fantastic. Brett Okamoto is going to join Darren Donovan Chase at 11 to talk more about UFC 249. That is going to do it. Another week in the books for Ryan Porth and Marquise Munson. I am Chase McCabe. Stick around, though. Darren Donovan Chase is next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.